Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Burlington Mayor Murrow Weinberger delivered his State of the City address last night, declaring the city to be in a state of emergency. The mayor reminded Burlingtonians to practice social distancing, wear face masks, and prepare for a long and challenging recovery. As mayor of Burlington, Weinberger has to deal with keeping homeless populations safe, addressing large concentrations of people larger than many other Vermont communities, and trying to do what he can from a city perspective to keep local businesses afloat. Mayor Murrow Weinberger, nice to talk with you. Thanks for making time.
Jane, thanks for having me on. Thanks for, I'm glad you guys have expanded the length of the show during this emergency. It's great.
Thank you. We appreciate being able to do it and hope that we're serving people and getting the information that they need and the connection that they need. And I appreciate you being on the program today to talk a little bit about what's happening in Burlington. As I mentioned last night, you declared that the state of the city is one of emergency. And I assume that you mean that in both a technical way and in a more general sense. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the governor's issued a state of emergency, which is for the whole state. And shortly after he did that, we followed suit and issued a municipal emergency in the city of Burlington, which does give the city the ability to move more quickly and on public safety, public health issues, and other matters that are going to aid in the emergency. So yes, in a literal way, we are, there's this declared emergency that is in place now and will be for a considerable period of time, I believe. But I was trying to make the larger point too, that it is so striking how different life is right now. You look at Church Street, this hub of activity for the last 40 years, and it is essentially empty. So our college campuses are very quiet. Even looking out the window or walking over here to met the DPW building where I'm going to give a press briefing later. And it is spring and we can see the bulbs coming up through the ground and the robins and people on bikes, but it just does not have the sense of renewal that spring always does here in Vermont because we are in this time when we know many of our neighbors, we've lost many of our neighbors. We've lost at least 9 Burlingtonians already in the last 20 days. We have met dozens more who are battling through this illness, and our hearts go out to them. And even people who are maybe not at bodily risk, so many of us, whether we are renters or homeowners, whether we are employees or employers, we have just enormous financial uncertainty about the future and fear for our homes, our jobs, and our businesses. And that's what I was trying to speak to by characterizing the moment that way.
What does the actual declared state of emergency allow you to do as the mayor? You said it can allow you to move faster on public health and stuff like that. So what specifically can you now do?
Well, a good example of this was last Friday when I was able to sign 2 emergency regulations that gave our police the ability to enforce the governor's stay home order with tickets if necessary for people who are willfully congregating and in violation of that order. I'm happy to say we didn't have to write any tickets this past weekend, but having that ability was, you know, an important emergency regulation. Similarly, we shut down or closed to traffic some local streets overnight, essentially, last Friday, so that we could create more space for social distancing last weekend after getting lots of public concern and desire for more open space since the bike path here in Burlington has gotten very crowded at times. So those, you know, normally to take steps like that, we would be talking about months of process. Last Friday, we were able to get an attorney general order at about 2 o'clock and turn it into an actual binding regulation by 6 o'clock that night.
Let's talk a little bit more about how you're trying to encourage and in some cases enforce the policies around not going to work unless you're an essential worker, not congregating, and then those questions around what to do as bike paths and parks get more crowded and trying to weigh that balance of wanting people in the city to be able to get out and to be able to recreate and exercise, but also to make sure that they're following the social distancing guidelines that we hear from the health department are helping to save perhaps as many as 1,700 lives. How do you weigh those needs, those competing needs, and then how do you address when a fine is appropriate, when encouragement is appropriate?
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot in that question, Jane, and you're right. These are challenging, challenging efforts. I guess one point I tried to make last night, I think it's an important point, is this. I and I think the governor and you've seen many other public officials around the country have tried to take swift action out of a sense that lives are at stake, clearly, and that our first priority has to be public health and saving as many of our neighbors as possible. And at times I've said, we'll figure out the rest later. We'll figure out the financial details later. What I'm increasingly coming to appreciate is those things aren't exactly in tension with each other. And I think a really important thing for us all to have in mind is what is causing people, certainly government orders, these social distancing orders is part of what is shutting down the economy and creating economic devastation right now. But it's also people's fear of the virus. It is this fear of this public health emergency, and it's an appropriate fear of the virus. The way we are going to be able to start reopening sectors of our economy is by doing the social distancing really well, doing it really strictly, doing it really extensively for this intense period, driving down new infections as low as we can, getting them down almost to zero, having an ability to fight the virus and monitor, detect it, and act to contain it when we start reopening the society. That's how we're going to bring our economy back, is by effectively fighting the virus. So I hope that speaks to your answer. So, I guess what I'm saying in part is I'm certainly erring on the side of public health because lives are at stake, but I'm also erring on the side of doing as much as we can with social distancing because that's our only mechanism really for fighting the virus right now. And it is only by doing that really effectively that we are going to get to the point where we can start bringing back other aspects of our life that we value so greatly.
We're talking with Burlington's Mayor Merle Weinberger about what he's doing and what the city is doing to try to address the COVID-19 crisis. So, Mayor Weinberger, what should people know, whether they live in Burlington or live in surrounding communities, about where they're allowed to recreate within the city boundaries in terms of, are they allowed to park or not park in certain places? Where can they walk or not walk, ride their bikes or not ride their bikes? Because, a lot of people in Burlington need to know that information. Then a lot of people in surrounding towns use Burlington frequently. And what do they need to know?
Well, here's how I think about it, Jane. First of all, the governor has issued a stay home, stay safe order. And that fundamentally means that you should not be going out of your home except for a very specific set of activities. If you are an essential worker, it's appropriate for you to go out to work. It's certainly appropriate for everybody to be leaving their home to go to grocery stores and other pharmacies, gas stations if you need to refuel your car, et cetera. One of the explicit that goes, to this idea of bike paths and walking areas, the governor has been very clear, and I support it. I think it's the right decision that people can go out of their homes for exercise. There has been some confusion about how to do that and how to do that safely. Our interpretation of that, which I think is widely accepted, is that it is okay to go outside and exercise on your own. It is okay to exercise with other members of your household because the presumption is you're not social distancing from your kids and spouse. But you should not be, while you are out on exercising, you should not be coming into contact playing basketball with your friend from two blocks away. That is putting both of you at risk. It's putting the community at risk for transmission of the virus. If one of you has it and maybe doesn't know it, since this is a virus where as 50% of the people who are spreading it don't even ever know that they have COVID-19. And that is not authorized. So that's sort of the framework to have in your mind. And then within that framework, you're, from my perspective, anywhere in Burlington where you can maintain that the 6 feet of distance between you and people from other households, at least the great majority of the time, is it is fine for you to be out there walking the street, walking the bike path, walking other trails that we have in Burlington. We're fortunate as a city. We have about 50% of the city's land area is open space. So there's lots of places for people to get outside and be able to have distance from others. We've encouraged people to think about the, and maybe this has some application in other parts of Vermont. You know, our first parks as a country were cemeteries. We have encouraged people to think about Lakeview Cemetery, which is a really beautiful area. This might be a time you want to spend walking there as opposed to the bike path, which is getting crowded at times. So,
but that's didn't the way you put some restrictions on where people who don't live in an area are allowed to park?
Where they're allowed to park. We have, gosh, Dane, I think maybe what you're talking about is we are closing certain streets to non-local traffic. So,
right. Like, so for people who might come and recreate from a different place, they're not allowed to park on the street there now.
Yes. And also, and maybe this is what you're talking about as well, is we have said on Pine Street, we have taken away parking from one side of Pine Street so that we can have a protected or semi-protected bike path linking the northern and southern parts of the bike path, which are currently separated, not linked right now because part of that bike path is under construction and is not passable right now. So Pine Street in particular, we have had some parking regulation changes so that we can create more space for biking there on Pine Street.
So let's talk a little bit about other things that you're doing. I want to know how closely you're in communication with UVM Medical Center in Burlington, where we've seen significant cases of COVID-19. We've also seen action from workers who are concerned about their safety. And just recently, UVM Medical Center releasing details that staff will be allowed to park on campus, for example. So how are you working with the hospital and with the medical center to try to make sure that everybody who works there is safe and that all patients are safe?
I've been working very closely with the hospital throughout this emergency. Dr. Stephen Leffler, the president and chief operating officer of the hospital, is someone who I've really come to have a close relationship with over the last 8 years. He, in various leadership roles with UVM Medical Center, has really been very active on public health issues, issues of community health. And I've been thankful to have that relationship and have him in that role. I think, you know, I believe we're succeeding, as you may have noted in the what I've been saying over the last weekend and the speech last night. I think even as we have tragedy around us and even as we go through a very difficult week, what the Surgeon General said is going to be, you know, our Pearl Harbor, all of that is true. And our hearts are with the people who are fighting the virus right now. And at the same time, I think we should understand and recognize and at some level celebrate so that people understand what they've done and accomplished, that we are succeeding with flattening the curve. And it very much appears that we are on track to keep this initial spike, the spike of cases that we were most worried about, well within the medical centers in this area, and I think statewide, ability to handle all the cases coming in. That was really been our paramount goal from the beginning. We knew we needed to do everything we could to avoid being like Lombardy, Italy, where the system was just completely overwhelmed. Dr. Leffler has just shown, from my perspective, great leadership in making sure the hospital was ready for this, making sure that the state understood what his concerns were and what the hospital needed from the state if we were going to get through this. I basically have been in communication with him virtually every day, many times, multiple times a day through this. Dr. Leffler comes on our Wednesday briefings and he'll be giving a briefing tomorrow afternoon. where I think he will, as he said last week, I think we'll hear an update that says, yeah, we're still on track to keep this under control. The city did engage the medical center and UVM about that parking issue. I think it's been my understanding that for more than a week now, UVM had, so this is sometimes confusing to people. There's UVM, University of Vermont, and then there's UVM Medical Center. They're not the same entity, even though they are right next to each other. And obviously they're very related in a lot of ways. So what needed to happen there, and that did take a few days to get sorted out, is the university needed to make available to the medical center parking spaces. And they have done so. I believe it's something like 750 parking spaces. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw somewhere, although there's it's possible. I guess I'm not certain. I'm not totally confident on the number, but it was a...
Well, and the issue here as well is that for many medical center workers, they were taking a shuttle. And so there were questions that they were having about their own ability to follow social distancing by having to take a shuttle or walk far distances. And so that was why parking closer to the medical center was an issue.
Yes. And hundreds of spaces have been made available for that. I'm sorry that there's a little confusion in the room about the exact figure, but it is...
You're getting people to feed you the numbers, are you?
Well, I do have one of my colleagues here in the room, and when I said that number, she wasn't sure. Well, maybe we'll post on your comments or something their exact numbers. But change did happen there, and hundreds of medical center employees that weren't able to park close are able to now. As far as other ways in which we are working together, I think speaks to, so here's another way, Jane. I think this is kind of interesting. I mean, we basically, and this kind of goes back to why did I make the point that the state of the city is the state of emergency? We have really dramatically restructured city government to deal with this emergency during these weeks and what I expect to be months. We have all of our decisions being related to the emergency are being coordinated through basically an incident command system with our fire chief overseeing that process and making sure everything stays coordinated and we keep track of all the expenses and no important information gets lost. We have repurposed employees from a number of different city departments to be part of this resource and recovery center, where basically we're saying to all the people of Burlington, if you need help in this time, contact the resource and recovery center. We have banners up around the city. We put it out on all these other platforms so that we can give people who need help one-to-one help, whether that's they don't know how they're going to pay their rent and they're worried about being evicted, or businesses that are trying to understand how to interpret this CARES Act, that this massive $2 trillion federal relief package from the federal government, they can get help, personalized help in working through that from our resource and recovery center. We've taken up this basically people with policy skills and analytical skills and even epidemiology skills that are part of the city team and five different departments. We put them into one analytics team, and they are scouring the world really for best practices and information about how we get through this emergency. And all this comes back to the medical center in that I'm really at this point starting to talk with the medical center and the state looking ahead to how do we come out of this? What do we need in place to for the stay home order to be lifted? And what new capacities as a government, a coordinated state and local government, do we need in order to stay open once the stay home order is lifted, since the threat of the virus is almost certainly still going to be there for a long time? I'm working very closely with the medical center to try to formulate those strategies.
Jack is calling in from Williston. Hi, Jack. Go right ahead.
For taking my call. I have an interesting question that has to do with not looking to snitch on my employer, but asking for a friend, if you were to find yourself in a situation where you work at a non-essential business that finds itself still open, what would you recommend action being taken? Go to work or suck it up and go in, or maybe call the city hall, or I'm not sure what to do.
And Jack, let me ask you two questions just to clarify so that maybe the mayor has a better sense of how to answer this. Do you live in Burlington or work in Burlington, or is one of these connected to Burlington in some way that you think the mayor might be the right person to get in touch with?
Yeah, as a Burlington resident who works outside of Burlington, but I guess it could be even the other way, but that kind of thing.
And the job you're talking about is not a place, an essential place of business, but you're still being asked to report to work, or your friend is.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, so Mayor Weinberger, how would you help Jack, who lives in Burlington and is being asked to work at a place that apparently should not be open for business?
Great. That is an interesting question from Jack. So I actually, and I appreciate the different permutations that I kind of sorted out there. Let me speak actually to the question of a Burlington business first. Certainly there, we have at times over the last couple of weeks gotten reports of business activity occurring that people didn't think should be occurring or had questions about. And we have looked into it. And in one case we did find, for example, that a U-Haul was operating consistent with some national standards, but they were not standards that were consistent with what the governor had called out. And they changed once I think our police brought that to their attention. We generally have been pleased with the level of compliance that we've been seeing in Burlington businesses. One thing that people should understand is that there is some subtlety and complexity to the regulation. The fact that a business is non-essential does not mean definitively that all activity with that has to stop. For example, if there is an activity where there's online fulfillment of non-essential goods, if it is only one employee that is in the building doing that fulfillment, that is allowable, is my understanding. So that is just sort of one point to people that there is some subtlety and what may it, you know, that if you really want to, one thing you can do is you can look at the enormous amount of guidance that's been published by the Agency of Commerce and Community Development to really lay out in detail how to interpret this order.
And through the city, you have the ability to force compliance for businesses, right?
Yep, that's right. So I guess in the specific example Jack gave there, where you are a Burlington resident and you are being asked to report to work, something that I would encourage you to think about doing is contacting our Resource and Recovery Center. You can go online and find the contact information. There's an email that's basically recovery at burlingtonvt.gov. And this is one of those examples. We will give you sort of personalized feedback to help you understand your situation and what your recourse is. And so that's a resource that I encourage people to consider.
Mayor Weinberger, earlier you talked about how you're trying to make sure that people are staying safe and staying isolated from one another. And you pointed out, you know, people and families are not necessarily self-isolating in their own home. They're staying with their families. And I'm curious how you are working to stay safe, educate your children at home, and run the city all at the same time while making sure that you are not exposed and your family is not exposed. How do you manage all of that? Because for many of us, it is a major challenge and we're not running cities.
It is a challenge and it is something I worry about. I do. I'm working really hard to try to avoid getting the virus myself. I do feel a responsibility to my family and to the community to try to stay healthy during this, and that it, you know, certainly for many people, even if they, it is not fatal, it can be quite incapacitating for a significant period of time. And I think it would be, you know, the mayor plays a key role in the community response. So when I go out of the house, I'm doing as much as I can from home. Like, we're advising everybody. I think, you know, local government work is actually one of the, what is considered essential work in some ways. It is consistent with the order for me to go out to do some of my duties. I try to minimize that. I am basically leaving the home once a day to come to these briefings here at DPW, which I think is important for me to continue to communicate on a daily basis with the people of Burlington. And doing it here is really much, it's much more feasible to do it here than in any other setting. I wear a mask when I am outside of the home now for any reason. We're wearing one of these masks that the city of Burlington is fabricating for essential workers, and we're going to try to do it. I've committed.
So we know the mayor has committed. Sorry about that glitch there in the system. And that is an interesting thing we're going to try to put a link to. I understand that the city of Burlington is working to try to ensure that masks are available to essential workers, not necessarily healthcare workers, but essential workers, now that we now that we have a call to wear masks, we're supposed to be wearing masks when we're out in public. And so if you're a grocery store worker, if you're a worker in an industry that is considered essential, where do you get a mask if you would like to wear a mask and you're being advised to wear a mask? And the city of Burlington is making that available. You know, I don't think we have the mayor back with us at this moment, and we are running short on time. But I want to talk about with you, our listeners. One of the things that we're trying to do here on Vermont Edition is address questions that you may have about the virus, about life in Vermont, about connecting to one another. And to that end, we really need and want to hear from you on what you would like us to be talking about in these coming weeks. We have expanded to 2 hours a day, as Mayor Weinberger said. You know, that allows us to have lots more conversations with you and a lot more topics. And so today we've had three interesting conversations. I thought they were interesting. One about farms and farm workers and what's happening with dairy in the state of Vermont. One about pet adoptions, which, you know, in some cases I think can seem a little bit lighthearted, but is really important because people want to know what can they do to foster a pet and what can they do to help animals and themselves feel love at this time. Mayor Weinberger, you're saving me here. I think you're back on the line. So we just have about a minute, and you were telling us about how you're keeping yourself and your family safe, and I appreciate that. And we were talking as well about masks available for city workers. But in just the minute that we have left, what do you want Burlingtonians to know about either what you're doing or what they should be doing to stay safe?
Well, what I want Burlingtonians and I think Vermonters to know is what we're doing is working. And it's working despite, and we have to acknowledge that even while we see this tragedy happening, that the social distancing is flattening the curve. And I think it's really important that people know that because I want people to know that we need them to keep it up. We need people to stay committed to this. We each have a role in saving as many of our neighbors as possible. And by doing this social distancing really well for a focused period of time, it's what is going to allow us to come out of this sooner. The second thing I want people to know and start to prepare themselves for is even when we come out of the stay-home order 1 to 2 months from now, we're still going to have a lot of work to do. It's not going to be going back to normal. We're facing 12 to 18 months of really battling this thing. And maybe Jane will have a chance to talk more about what that battle looks like in the future. But we're going to have a lot more work to do to get through this. But we will. We can look to our history. We know we've gotten through major challenges before. And we have a great spirit of togetherness in Vermont, and we will get through this together.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I know your time is precious as you work on behalf of the city of Burlington. So, Mayor, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane.